thank you for joining us for today's message. We encourage you to visit kentwoodcommunitychurch.com and tell us how God is using this church in your life. We want to hear your story or testimony, so please send us an email or post online. And if interested, you can support this ministry financially through our website as well. Our hope is that as you listen to the message, you'll experience a real encounter with God.
Yeah, so welcome. I'm glad to be here. Always blessed to share the message. My week's been interesting. Now I'm becoming a dad. My daughter was born on the 7th, Lyric. She is gorgeous. I love her. It's been a great adventure so far, catching up on sleep, getting used to the rhythm. But it's been great. So I just want to say personally, on behalf of my family, a thank you to all of you. Just cards we received, just prayer, just food, meals. It's just been such a blessing. So thank you to everyone for your prayers. And thank you. It's just been amazing. That's what I love about our church family. I've even received love from our brothers and sisters in Nagpur. So that just shows the distance and how our love travels, and that's what I love about KCC. And speaking of Nagpur, would you mind giving them a warm welcome as they're tuning in this morning? Yeah. And also those at our Wyoming campus. Yes, to the one team. And we cannot forget, of course, everyone tuning in at the Juvenile Detention Center. We can give them a warm applause. Yeah. So as Kathy has mentioned, we've been in a series called Motivated. And the idea behind it is we're trying to find ways that motivate us to evangelize, to go out and share our faith. And when I knew what I was going to preach on, as I was putting it together, I started reflecting on the past weeks that we've had. As we said, the first week, Pastor Kevin Harney was here. He gave a great message about scattering seeds and how we can focus so much on the right person to evangelize to, or the perfect setting, that by the time our life comes down to the end, we've barely even shared, because we get so conscious about doing it perfectly and how we just need to be able to scatter seeds and share our faith everywhere and with everyone. And then last week, Pastor Kathy talked about partying with a purpose and how we need to be intentional about reaching out to people that we know don't know Christ and being surrounded by those people, getting out of our comfort zone and spending time with them. But as I was reflecting on those, when I was putting my message together, I realized something, that even though we hear these messages, week to week, and they're great messages, they're good teaching, they're good sustenance for us to put into practice in our lives, the truth is that we can hear those teachings and we can do nothing with them. And the truth is, as a Christian, no matter what we hear, no matter any new age way to share our faith or new technique or hidden secret, at the end of the day, there can always be things that stop us from taking that step and sharing our faith. And that's what I want to touch on today. So I've labeled my message, "I would share my faith, but ... And I did that because I feel there's times I hear that from people that say, I would share my faith with this, or I would share my faith with that. And there's always so many reasons why we don't share our faith. But at the same time, I want to show us that Scripture gives us ways and tools and things that we need to remember when it comes to share our faith that make it easier and enable us to do so. So will you join me in prayer before I dive in? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the blessing. I thank you for the opportunity we have to be here as a family, as a body, to just glorify and lift up your name. Lord, I pray for the congregation, Lord. I pray that we will all have open ears today, Father God, that they will hear your words and your truth, Father God. And I pray that through all, whatever we do and take from this, we do it for your glory. Lord, I pray that you bless me in this time. Give me your words to speak. And Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit will just be with us today and will guide us in the steps ahead. We love you, Lord, and we praise you and ask all these things in your name. Amen. So today we'll be in 1 Peter chapter 3. We'll be starting at verse 13, going all the way through 17. So 1 Peter chapter 3. And it reads like this: "Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. So here, Peter, he's writing a letter out to Christians that are scattered amongst the world. The church has started to grow, and you know, Christians are starting, more and more starting to come to faith. So he's writing out to Christians, encouraging them about sharing their faith. Now, from this passage, we can see that Peter's addressing the issue of evangelism. He's saying how we need to be able to share our faith, and he understands that there's concerns and there's fears. But we can see from the scripture that there's three main things that I feel Peter wants us to keep in mind when we share our faith. So the first one is to not be afraid. He says in verse 13 to 14, "Who is going to harm you if you are eager to be good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened." So we're encouraged to not be afraid. And fear is, it's a true reality. I mean, if you look at any Christian study about evangelism, usually the main reason or even the biggest one is fear when it comes to why people don't share their faith. People say all the time, I'm afraid. And reasons that they could be afraid may be through lack of knowledge, or they're just not comfortable. It's kind of going out of their comfort zone. But we're commanded to not be afraid, to not have fear, because God is on our side. We're honoring God in what we're doing. So what are most things that people are afraid of when it comes to evangelism? Rejection, being embarrassed in public, maybe, you know, making a scene and crowds of people coming around. What our friends may think of us, you know, it may not be the cool thing to do, going out and sharing your faith. You know, you could be a Christian, but don't be an overly Christian. You know how people say that? Don't be too Christian-y. Losing our job sometimes, you know, in the workplace, we don't want to share our faith, and we can think, well, I don't know, what if I say something and they report me and I lose my job? Persecution, being made fun of, being picked on, and even death in some parts of the world. People lose their lives from sharing their faith. So there's all these reality of things that put fear in our hearts that prevent us from sharing our faith. But we must remember that God is on our side. If God is for us, then who can stand against us? And what I love about this part of Scripture is that it tells us that even if we suffer, we're blessed because of it. And that's an interesting perspective. I mean, how often do you think of persecution as being blessed? I mean, if you would ask the average Christian, what do you think a blessed life looks like? Usually persecution is not going to be on the top of their list. But Scripture tells us that in persecution we are blessed. And that is a reason why we don't need to fear about sharing our faith. You know, I heard an interesting story a while ago about a group of missionaries that were in South Korea years back. And they ended up being captured and they were held hostage around at least 3 months. It was a long time. And in the end, they ended up being rescued and they were saved and they were brought back home. And months down the road, they had a gathering. They had kind of like a reunion. They brought everyone back to see how they were doing and to check up on them. And they had an open time just for anyone who wanted to share about their experience and, you know, what's been going on since. And one man, he raised his hand and he just started weeping. And he said, you know, maybe I'm crazy for thinking this, but there's many times I wish I was back where I was. He said, I wish I was still a hostage in South Korea. And he said the reason was because he had never felt closer to God than ever in that moment. It was in the midst of his persecution that he felt the most blessed ever in his life. He said ever since that time, he hasn't been able to get that intimacy with God. Because in those moments, all he had to lean on was God. All he had was his faith. When there was no way out, or there seemed to be no way out, all he had to cling on was God's truth. And he said, in those moments was the most and closest I've ever been to God. And then it was amazing. All of a sudden, everyone else just started crying, and they admitted one by one that they all felt the exact same way. And that's so crazy to think. We sit here, you want to be back in persecution? You know, you're back home with your family, your job, your regular life, but you want to be back without food, little bit of water, being beaten, persecuted. You want to be back to that. And their answer was yes, because to them, that's where they were receiving true blessing. And the scripture rings true to that. There is blessing in persecution. So we're called not to fear. We cannot be afraid. Peter tells us we have nothing to be afraid of because God is on our side. So the second thing that he points out is that we need to be prepared to give an answer. Verse 15, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. If you were to ask me, Pastor Mike, what are you most passionate about? I would say this is it. This is my bread and butter. It's seeing Christians grow in biblical knowledge to better share their faith. Nothing turns my stomach more than when I see Christians out, you know, evangelizing or just going through everyday life, and they come in with encounters with non-believers or people of other religions, and they don't have the answers to the questions that people ask them. And just because I see them, it can cause them to doubt their faith. You know, they can feel, you know, beat down, like they're not good enough. And that is what always gets me. I love to see Christians grow in their faith and their biblical knowledge to better share their faith with others. But Peter makes it clear here that we're commanded to be prepared to give an answer. He's not suggesting it. He's saying, as a Christian, you can't just be a Christian and that's it. You must continue to grow in your faith. Why do you believe what you believe? Can you give an answer to that? Can you explain it to someone who's curious why you believe it? Or do you just say, well, because it worked for me. Or, it was a cool thing to do. We must give an answer. The word revere means high respect or adoration. So by sharing what we believe and why we believe it, we are respecting Christ. We're honoring God by studying and growing in knowledge and growing in his word so that we're able to explain it to other people. That's how we honor Christ. And Peter here, he's making the assumption that the people that are reading this letter, they understand that that is something they're supposed to be doing, that they're supposed to continue to be in the word and growing in the word and understanding critical issues that people may bring up about their faith and their belief. They understand that they can't just sit there and just let things come to them. They have to be intentional about diving into God's word. Now, some things that I see a lot that comes up with this in today's world is that someone may be a Christian, they may be struggling with something, and they say, well, I can't share my faith because I'm struggling in this area, so I can't tell someone else how to live. We have to understand that our struggles does not trump truth. If I'm struggling in an area of my life and I see someone else is also struggling in the area, that doesn't mean I can't share the truth with them, because the truth is still the truth whether I'm doing it right or not. We can go through this thing together. But when you let that idea, you let the enemy put those ideas that you can't, why are you telling that person to stop doing that? You're still doing that. When we let that idea trickle in our minds, it prevents us from sharing our faith and helping others through what they're going through. And then there's the other side where people think, well, I have to be perfect to share my faith. Well, you know, I'm still sinning, or I still mess with this, or I'm doing this, so I can't share my faith because I'd be a hypocrite. When that's not true at all. We'll never be perfect, so the time to share our faith is now. If you're waiting to be perfect, don't hold your breath. Peter recognizes, and he's telling us, no, give an answer to your faith. Walk alongside people, build them up, answer the tough questions. Don't wait until you're not sinning anymore, because that won't happen. So there are dangers in not studying and growing in God's word, but there's also dangers in studying too much. So what are the negatives about not studying enough? You know, it's interesting. We went through this kind of phase in church history where it was kind of like post-baby boomer era. You know, after like 50s, 60s, you know, parents growing up, like my parents' generation, where in America, like Christianity was like the popular thing. You know, that was the main belief, and there was definitely Christianity was on the rise at those times. And it kind of reflected on people because you didn't really have to try super hard to share your faith or to bring people to Christianity. It was, you know, in a sense, it was the cool thing to do. It's like, oh, Christianity, you got revivals. It's like, oh, yeah, that's cool. I'll give my life to Christ. Cool. And things were just working. But the problem in that is there wasn't a need, per se. People did not feel the need or the angst to grow more in their faith, to understand tough questions and to answer them for people. So we kind of got stagnant. We kind of got in this, well, just trust in God, and if you ask questions, then that's showing that your lack of faith. So, you know, people come to the question, why, what about this? And they say, well, you know, don't ask questions because, you know, that shows you have a lack in faith. You know, just trust in God, trust in the Bible is true. But what happened is people in my generation, kids my age, as we grew up and other beliefs started coming in and more atheism started becoming on the rise, they started to ask more questions and we didn't have the answers for them. There's a book called Already Gone by Ken Ham and Britt Beamer. Ken Ham is the founder of Answers in Genesis. And this book is really interesting. He wanted to understand why is it so many millennials are leaving the church after they graduate high school and going to college. So he did all these interviews. I think he interviewed like over like 10,000 like high school graduates and college graduates to find out what is the reason. Like, why is this growing trend of young people leaving the church? And the statistics, they shocked him. So we started to dive in to find more about it. Here's just some things that he learned from his research. Those who faithfully attended Sunday school are more likely to leave the church than those who do not. Those who regularly attend Sunday school are more likely to believe that the Bible is less true. Those who regularly attend Sunday school are actually more likely to defend that abortion and gay marriage should be legal. And those who regularly attend Sunday school are actually more likely to defend premarital sex. Now, you hear those statistics and you think, well, that can't be right. So you're telling me the kids that are in church are more likely to leave the church? That doesn't seem right. And it didn't seem right to Ken either. So he started doing more research. And what he found out is, in our culture today, as more kids, they grow up more and more, and they have more questions, we're not equipped to give them the answers that they need. But on the other side, in the secular world, they have answers for everything, even if they can't even prove them. You know, so a person will come to someone and say, they come to a church leader and say, hey, how did Noah get all the animals on the ark? You know how many species of animals we have in the world today? The teacher would say, you know what? I don't know. Trust in Jesus. Then they go to the secular world. They say, hey, how do all the animals and all the species get in the world? And they say, oh, through evolution. Oh, we have an answer for that. It was this and this. Then they go back to the church and ask another question. You know, hey, if God loves marriage, how come there's adultery in the Bible? And the teacher can say, oh, but don't worry about it. You know, just trust in Jesus. The Bible is true. And on these things happen because our leaders were not equipped to answer those questions. So what happened is doubt continues to creep into kids' minds, and they say, I'm called to believe in this, but I'm getting answers over here. And that just more solidifies the reason that we have to grow in our faith. We have to be able to give answers. Peter realized this in his passage, and that's what he's telling us. You must be able to give an answer. You must be able to answer the tough questions. Because even through the past, and we can see it now, our young people are growing up more and more in a world where I need answers. But if we're not training ourselves to grow in that and to meet them in those places, that can cause doubt in their faith and cause them to leave the church. So we must continue to dive in the Word. We must grow in knowledge. So we must study. But there's also the reality that we can overstudy. And I've struggled with this. You know, if we're not studying, we get caught up in this idea where, okay, I need to know every single thing about every other religion. I need to know everything about Hinduism. I need to know everything about Islam. And then we get to the point where we get so caught in this mentality of being perfectly knowledgeable that we don't share anything. You know, we say, well, what if someone asks a question that I don't know? I can't say I don't know. That's not a good answer. And then we say, well, I got to go back and study more. And I got caught up in this in my own life because I love studying. So the more and more as I talk to people of different religions or different beliefs, I'd say, oh, well, you know, I don't know that answer. Let me go back and study. And we get so caught up in studying and learning new things that I would feel I'm not adequate enough to share my faith because I need to know more knowledge. You know, I heard a quote from a pastor before. He said, if you know more about other religions than your own, there's a problem. He said, you don't need to know the ins and outs of every other belief. You need to know what you believe in and why you believe it. And that's so true. We can't get caught up with learning every other belief and their views. It's helpful, yes, but we can't get stuck where it prevents us from sharing our faith and going out and speaking to people about the truth of Christ. So it's interesting that we can feel unqualified to share our faith when we don't study, and that we can also feel unqualified to share our faith when we do study. So there's that tension that we have to wrestle with. But Peter makes it clear that we're called to give an answer for what we believe in. And finally, the third one. We must engage with gentleness and respect. Verse 15. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. So we must engage in others with gentleness and respect. Our actions as Christians should not be the same as those who are lost because we know better. We have been born again in Christ. We know that we're supposed to be like Christ, be an image of him on this earth. And I feel like this is the most important step of the three, because the reality is you cannot have fear and you can study the word and grow in knowledge and you can share with people, but you cannot do it in gentleness and respect. You will not bear fruit. But on the opposite end, you can be gentle and respectful to people and not share your faith, and you can still grow relationships with them. This is a key component. You know, I think of, like, on the aspect of bullying, it's a perfect example, the parallels. You know, most studies of anti-bullying and the way that people say to prevent bullying is actually showing kindness. Because when you think about it, it makes sense. When someone is being bullied or they're bullying someone, they want that response. They want you to get upset. They want you to get angry. They feed off. That's what drives them to continue to tease someone. But when you start to love them with kindness and show them respect and gentleness, it throws them off because they're not getting the reaction that they want. And it causes them to not want to engage in bullying anymore because they're not getting what they want from it. And if we're not careful, that can happen when we share our faith. It's easy. We can get, okay, I got the fear down. I'm growing in knowledge. And we can go out, and if we're not careful, we can get this pride can creep into our minds where our own intention is just, look at me. Look how smart I am. Look how much I know. Look how much better I am than you. Let me tell you what you're doing wrong. And when we do that, we're doing it in vain. No fruit will come from that because we're not doing it in gentleness and respect. We're not going to bear fruit if we don't respect the people that we're speaking to. If our intention is not solely for them, it's not for us. We've been changed. The Holy Spirit is working in our lives. We're doing it for them. You know, I had an interesting experience years ago. I may have shared this before, but when me and my wife were dating in college, we would like to go downtown to the festivals, and we would always like to hang around like the super extreme Christian, you know, got the signs and they're yelling at people, you know, oh, you're going to hell and repent and hurry up and time's wasting. And we would just like to hang around just to like see the atmosphere and how people would be. I remember this one time we were down there and we were watching this group of like three people. They were talking to this man, you know, he had his sign and he was yelling at him. And one of the ladies that he was talking with, she was just like, well, can we just pray? Will you pray with us? And he went, no, I'm not going to pray for you because, you know, I know you don't really mean it and it's not going to mean anything to you. And she was like, well, can we just pray for you? And I'll never forget these words. He said, I don't need prayer because I don't sin. Yeah, it's true. Oh, it got real at that point. I said, man, Lord, don't ever let me get to that point where I say something like that. But he was dead serious. And I remember my wife, she got super upset and she grabbed the girl's hand. She said, we'll pray with you. And we pulled him to the side and we prayed for him. But here's this man, in his eyes, he doesn't have fear. I'm sure he feels like he's knowledgeable. He studied God's word, but he's not doing it with gentleness and respect. There wasn't an ounce of that in what he was doing. His own intention was, I'm better than you. Let me show you how wrong you are. Listen to what I'm saying. This pride had creeped into his mind. And he wasn't bearing any fruit. People didn't want to talk to him. If they did want to talk to him, it was just to make him upset. They didn't generally want to converse with him and share their lives and their struggles with him because they know he didn't actually care. And if we're not careful, that can be us in our own lives. You cannot bear fruit without gentleness and respect. And that's why I feel it's the most important. Once you get down not being afraid and growing in our knowledge and our faith in Christ and having to answer what we believe in, it's very easy to go out and things are going well and you start to say, wow, you know, look, I helped lead three people to the Lord last week. And, you know, that pride starts to build up and then it stops being about the lost people anymore. It's about us. What feeds me? I like people saying thank you to me and letting me know how much I changed their lives. Or people saying how biblically wise and accurate you are. Those things the enemy can pour into our minds and we can start to get this pride and we forget the reason why we're doing it in the first place. And once we do that, no more fruit can be made. And I love how the verse ends. For it is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. We all suffer in life. There's tragedy for all. The Bible said it rains on the just and the unjust. But it shows that we're all going to go through suffering, so why not honor God in the midst of it? If we're going to experience hardships, fear, humiliation, why not honor God in the midst of it? Peter's intention was to push and to motivate us to share our faith. These three things that I listed can prevent us from sharing our faith, but at the same time, they're things that we can cling on to work on to improve on sharing our faith. So what do we do with this? Applying it to our lives is easier hearing it. Just as I said in the beginning, all the messages we heard in the series, it's easy to hear them and to nod and say, well, no, that's good. I understand that. But taking that first step, actually going out and doing it, that is what is the true thing that changes us. Taking that step, actually going out. So the question I have for you this week is, which one of these areas is holding you back, and what will you do to overcome and better share your faith? The reality is that we will always struggle with one of these. It's never a, oh, I'm perfect now, I don't have fear, I don't have knowledge, and I'm doing gentleness and respect. You'll always bounce back and forth. I've done it in my own life. I used to struggle with being afraid to speak to people, and once I got comfortable doing that, then I started to struggle in the aspect of knowledge. And once I did that, it was gentleness and respect. And then when I would take breaks and not share my faith for a while, that fear would creep up, and then I would have to work through that again. We'll always be wrestling in the tension of these three. And there's nothing wrong with that, but recognizing you are and how you're going to get past it is the key. So what area are you struggling in? Are you struggling in fear? Are you so afraid to share your faith because of what other people may think, what may happen, being persecuted, losing your job? Is it lack of wisdom? Do you feel, I don't know enough to share my faith? I don't know everything. I don't know the views, political views, religious views, whatever it may be, so I can't share my faith. Or maybe you have been sharing your faith and you're realizing now, I haven't been doing it with gentleness and respect. I'm wondering why people don't heed my words, and now I know why. Because maybe I'm doing it with the wrong heart. Whatever one you may be struggling with, you can rest assured that you can get past it, and there are ways to do it. But no matter what the struggle is, the goal in the end is we must get out and share our faith. We can't let the enemy use these things to prevent us from going out and reaching people. You know, I just thought about this. This past weekend, it was funny. Me and my wife were walking downtown with our baby. It's going on a little stroll. And I remember in the distance, I'm sure you've had these moments if you share your faith, or you might just get them on a regular basis. We're rolling down, and we saw these people in the distance. And you kind of know, like, oh, something's going to happen. There's going to be an engagement, a conversation. And I could tell it was kind of like an apartment complex for homeless people or low-income people. And, you know, they're on the corner, and in my mind, I just started thinking, pushing ahead. I'm like, oh, please don't say anything to us. You know, that's how the enemy works. Just please don't say anything to us. And sure enough, one of the ladies sitting there, we're pushing, she says, is there a baby in there? And I thought in my mind, no, I'm just pushing a stroller. And so you're just the enemy. It's working. See, already just bad thoughts. And I said, yeah, there's a baby in there. And she looked around. And I was kind of worried at first because she had a cigarette in one of her hands. And I'm like, oh, please, I don't need to smoke my baby. And she was like, oh, my goodness, she's so beautiful. And she's, I'm not going to put my cigarette by her. And I was like, well, thank you. And I was like, you know what, let's just stop. And what I love about when God sets appointments, it's like there's basically, you have no excuse. It's like God can make it so easy for us to share our faith if we just respond. This lady started rambling on about how she's the only one in her family that doesn't have grandkids, and she has one kid who's disabled, and she had another son who he's been dealing with this woman, and she's aborted two of his babies, and she's just like, you know, I want a grandkid, but this woman's not right for him, and you know, I struggle with do I just succumb to the pressure and say, well, I don't care if you don't wait till marriage, I just want a grandbaby, and in that time, I just felt God saying, pray for her. Here's this woman's pouring out her problems to me, and she doesn't even know me. And part of me just wanted to say, you know, that's great, it was good to meet you, and walk on by. But as I was like, I had this message already made, and just reflecting on Kathy's message from last week, I'm like, how much of a hypocrite would I be if I just walked past this, if I just ended here? So I told her, I said, can I pray for you about, you know, you being a grandmother and your sons? She said, oh, I never turned down prayer. And I prayed for it, and she was so appreciative of it, you know, and then she started telling me, you know, she's fallen away from the Lord, and she wants to get back with God. And I told her I was a pastor at KCC, and she said, oh, yeah, I know KCC. I used to live by there. And I told her, anytime you are welcome to come here. And she said, if I can find transportation, I'll come. And I just remember walking away, just smiling and thinking, like, God, you're awesome. How you set up these appointments. And I could have easily let my fear get in the way of praying for that woman. Letting her open up to me and share the struggles that she's going through. We go through situations like that every day. And we know it. We get those moments where we feel a nudge from the Holy Spirit, and the enemy comes right away and attacks us. Don't do that. And that's where I was at. But I took that step. I said, no, it's not about me. God, I'm feeling this for a reason, so maybe you have something planned. We all have these experiences. And when we do not let fear overwhelm us, then we can help change people's lives and lead them to the Lord. Amen? Amen. Join me in prayer. God, you're awesome. Lord, you continue to work in our lives and set up appointments for us to meet with people. They're not by accident, Lord. It's because you have entrusted us to join in to the great, awesome experience of seeing people change their lives and follow you. You could do it all on your own, but you invite us to be a witness and to see it. And Lord, I thank you for that. But we know the enemy wants nothing more to prevent us, to limit our impact for the kingdom, and doubts start to creep in. God, these messages have fruit. They have wisdom. But as soon as we walk out those doors, the real world hits and the enemy tells us, it was good, but that's not for you. Lord, just help us to dismiss those. Father God, I pray that you help everyone in here, whatever they're struggling with, whether it's fear, whether it's lack of biblical knowledge and they want to grow in their faith, or gentleness and respect, Lord, whatever it may be that Peter talked about, Lord, I pray that you would help them overcome those areas. Help us to boldly go out and proclaim your name and what you have done in our lives and what you can do for other people. God, it's not about us. It's about lost people, and you have called us to go out there and share our faith. We don't have to be a master evangelist. We just have to have true intentions and share our heart. So, Lord, be with us in the coming weeks, in the coming days. Lord, help us to be able to go out with no fear, because we know that whatever we experience, you have set in advance, and you are on our side. Help us to be bold and share our faith with others. We love you, Lord, and we praise you and lift this up in Jesus' name.